Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is the great last day. This is the last holy day all this season. And this is the greatest day. This is the culmination of God's very plan. This is where He is looking forward to. His mind has always been on from the beginning. This is why He has written this book that we have. That is why we are here as part of His church, is to get finally to the great last day, when all peace and all happiness and all joy finally come on this earth. It'll be about 7,000 years waiting for that. And we have to understand that we are all part of this history. You know, this whole history, if it starts here and it goes out there in the universe forever, we're just a little line here. All the 7,000 years, teeny little line in this history. And He's fulfilling it, and we're still part of this. It's not done yet. That's why there's many areas in the Bible we really don't see, we can't comprehend, because other things haven't happened. But so far, He has given us a very good view of what is coming, and He will continue to add to the meat of the bone, as it were. Now, we all know why we're here. We ask that. Well, I read those scriptures on the first day of Tabernacles and included that great last day as a holy convocation. And that's, of course, is found back in Leviticus 23. We went through last sermon. I had Mr. Trumbull kind of complete that and go through a little bit more of the overview of that Day of the Lord, which is that whole time period that we summed up in the other sermon. And there are so many scriptures. I know he asked you, well, which ones you want me to read? I said, we have probably 1,000 to check from. Just pick some of them. There's no way we can do it all. It just is always on that subject. And all the way through Isaiah, you will be able to receive in a few weeks this series that we did on Isaiah. So in all the way through, and it's 8 tapes. And that's 2 months out of the year. It was very important to show that God's mind way back then was continually on this. And we take the great last day as a theme all the way through Isaiah, and where we used to put it on different time periods. No, it's on the great last day. And I think that'll be very inspiring to you. It will open up the Old Testament for you. Once you see and we go through that, you will see how he writes and how he inspires, and you'll be able to pick it out of all the other books then. It was a very important series to go through. I was going to go through Isaiah in one sermon. We ended up with 8. In fact, I cheated everyone out of 3 chapters, so I have to go back and record that. But I'll do that after the feast, and we'll start to send that out to everyone. So we ended last service with the 7 last plagues, the vials. It was poured out, and the angel said, "It is done. It is done. All living anything on the earth, dead. It's all gone. There's no more life on the earth, physical or spirit." That included the death of Satan and all of his angels. How he accomplishes that, I don't know. He made spirit. He can deal with spirit. The angels that live forever live by the power of God. That's how they exist. That's why they live that way. And when we are changed and become spirits, we will exist by the very power of God, life eternal within us that He has given us. That's the only way that you can live. So all of mankind, all those spirits, everything, they're in their graves. Sometimes that's hard to realize, that spirit would be in a grave. Satan would actually be in a grave. But let's go back and look at that very quickly and see that. It was all over the Bible. We all read it, and we said, nah, be. It doesn't fit into our theory. So turn back to Isaiah 14. This, of course, you will know, it's just talking about Lucifer and Satan and his fall that he had, his rebellion against God. It talks about other things here. We didn't know how to read this before. So in Isaiah 14, starting in verse 4, it says, Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Well, now we know that king of Babylon is Satan. That's Satan. And say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. All of his great works that man and angels saw, it's all gone. Just gone. It says, and the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted. He says the whole earth is at rest and is quiet because he's in his grave. We'll go on with that in 11 here. It says thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Everything that he is now is in the grave. The noise of all of this, and the worms are spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. He's talking about Satan. Now, how he does this, I don't know. But he does it. And if you, I'll put in a plug, if you have not heard the 6-tape series on Satan's life and death, please write in. Please get that. Because that goes through all of this. That's why I'm not taking the time to go through this. Just a really a review. Talks about here in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? He is right down there. This is the one who weakened all the nations. He says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights and the clouds. I will be like the Most High. We know that from the man of sin, where he says he's going to exalt himself above God. That's his mind, and that's his attitude. It says, yet you shall be brought down to hell. That's the grave. To the sides of the pit. God talks a lot about this pit. Not this bottomless pit, but this pit where Satan is going to die with fire and brimstone. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man, is this the angel that made the earth to tremble? That did shake kingdoms? He's going to be brought down so low, right to his death. That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. Remember through all that fasting, the fasting tapes? We're the prisoners. He kept us prisoners. And that fast is to loosen that and to release that. Over in verse 24. Says, and the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. If the Father thinks it, it will be done. If it's his will that all don't perish, that's his will, and they don't. It says that I will break the Assyrian in the hand of the in my land, and upon the mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them. Remember that fasting again? To release that yoke, to take away the heavy burdens That's what Jesus Christ did, that acceptable fast for all of us. And his burden depart from off their shoulders. What a loving God is getting ready to do this. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. And the Lord, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? Who can discount that? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Once he begins that process, it will happen. He's not like Satan that always lies to everybody. God says it, he does it. And that's that. And that's why we worship him. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. The other familiar passages about Satan. He says some things about Satan that we used to discount. We didn't know how this would work. Well, God knew how it would work. Starting in verse 16. It says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, he's talking about Satan and the world and all the stuff that he has going here, they have filled the midst of you with violence, that thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you. He's going to destroy Satan. Not give him a little spanking. Say, well, go away for a while and come back later. To be gone forever. He said, I will destroy you, O covering cherub. Sounds pretty final to me. From the midst of the stones of the fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. And you have corrupted the wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. Remember, someday everyone's going to be watching this, which we're going to get to just in a moment. You have defiled sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and sins, by the iniquities of your tariffs. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes. I don't know how he does that to a spirit, but he does it. He says he's going to bring him to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee. And they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. These are all the people. They're finally going to know him. They'll be astonished. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. What wonderful words. Can't get better than that. He's going to be gone. Ezekiel 32. Just to set the scene exactly where this beast has been, that he actually is destroyed from the presence of this earth. Starting in verse 2. Now you'll have to read this whole thing. You can come back and read this. But in verse 2 it talks about the Son of Man take up this lamentation for the king of the Pharaoh, for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And when it refers to that, it's Satan. Do we have a nice hum in this thing? Rick, you're going to have to... Oh, okay. You mean I can't even yell at Rick? Something is starting. Well, we'll see how bad it gets. I'll have to get among you and talk louder then. If I have to, I'll go down there. Where was it? Okay, so it sets the scene here as Pharaoh, this king of Egypt, and we know that from past studies, it's Satan. He's talking right about Satan. So in verse 18, he says, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt. Cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth. with them that go down into the pit. There's this pit that he has. He doesn't make it all that clear, but there's a pit where he destroys all of this. Verse 23, he says, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is around about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which causes terror in the land of the living. And in verse 26, goes through some countries here, but they're all, it's all different names. These are all part of the names, these 666 names of Satan, when you really do a study on this. It says, and all of her multitude, her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword. They cause their terror in the land of the living. Now, who has caused the terror in the land of the living? Satan. All of them. And there's another plug I can give for the tapes of the circumcision and cycles. And through those tapes, you begin to look at it from God's eyes and God's view. When he says, those uncircumcised, well, the only ones that that's going to be is Satan and those demons. And he puts them right here in the grave. And that's going to be a great time. I think here in verse 31, it says, Pharaoh shall see them. In other words, Satan is going to see this and shall be confronted all over his multitude. Even Pharaoh and all of his army slain by the sword, says God. For I have caused my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be lain in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, says God. God says it, it's going to happen. And so, I think we can see that at this end, Satan and all the people are in the grave. And the angel says, it is done. It's done. Now what happens? What happens next? Here's this earth. The earth didn't dissolve and disappear. It's the same earth. But it's been cleansed by fire. Remember the flood? He destroyed the world. He destroyed it. Earth was still here. First, he says, I'm going to do it by water, by the flood. Then, I'm going to do it by fire. Even the old prophets knew that. And so, the earth is still here. This is still his creation. Why get rid of it? Let's just destroy and get rid of the things that are evil and all traces of it. So, what happens next? I don't know the period of time between when Christ does this and brings the fire and brimstone and the angel says it's done until the second resurrection begins. Could be a long space. Could be that fast. Everyone who's dead, they're not going to know whether it's long or not. We'll know at that time because we'll be standing with Christ. So, what happens is the second resurrection. But now what's going to happen? Now we've begun with the second resurrection, the great last day. This is the beginning of a day that never ends, that's here forever, with peace and happiness and joy and God's Spirit filling everyone. But there's a couple things that has to happen before this really gets going. So turn to Daniel 12. So in Daniel 12, starting in verse 1, this is what's going to happen. He says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people, thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is the book of life. This is the book that Moses is written in. He says, take my name out of that book, but please spare the Israelites. And God says, no, I'm going to spare the Israelites, and we're going to leave your name in there. And this is a record of mankind ever since Adam, all the way through. And he knows who's there. And it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust, it's all in the dust of the earth, shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now we know the plan of God. And we know the human beings come up to live forever. And we know that Satan is going to come up for a little bit, and then he's going to be killed. And this is what we have to look at. And this is what's taking place. And I don't have the time to read all these scriptures. I'll never get done. But there's two groups that come up. One is physical, all the people. One is a spirit, which is Satan and all of his demons. Now, what form they're going to take when they come up, I don't know. Will he bring them up physical? I don't know. He can do anything. He's God. He can do anything he wants. He will do what he has to do to accomplish his purpose and his word. So I won't speculate one way or the other. I just know the end result, and that's all I care about. The details, we'll learn later on that. But we all know the bottom line. But they all are in the dust of the earth. And there are other scriptures I don't have time to go through that tell you that Satan and all that are going to be in the dust of the earth. I think that's in that series with Satan's life and death, because it's his life and his death, and we cover mainly his death, because that's what the exciting part is. So now, what happens? All these people come up. What do they look like? What's happening? Let's turn to Revelation 7. Revelation 7 is starting to talk about the 144,000, all these different tribes. And then we come down to verse 9. Which we always thought, because it mentions the great multitude, well, these are all the other first fruits. They're going to come in because of some great tribulation, and the Nazis running all over, and they're in prison camps, and oh boy, then they'll remember those old plain truths, what, from about 20 or 30 years ago now? Because the last 20 years they were produced, and they weren't cutting it, and we all know that. And I always wondered as a kid, yeah, they're all going to get baptized, right? Yeah, where are you going to find those big tubs of water to baptize all these millions of people when the Nazi camps there aren't even going to give you water to flush with, let alone bathe with? You'd be lucky to get anything to drink, you know? Yeah, let's save all of our water, and then we get baptized, and by the time we get enough water, everyone's dead. I'm a kid, I'm thinking, this isn't working. Something's not working in this plan. But I didn't have any better idea either. But we find that this is not happening at that time, as we know from the plan of salvation. Then verse 9, we're starting to talk about the great harvest. Everyone who has ever lived and will live after us until that time, when he does all of this, when he says it's done, this all of a sudden happens at the second resurrection. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. And all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. There's a joke about that. I mean, what else would they have in their hands but palms? But these are supposed to be regular, you know, like little leaves, you know, leaf palms. And so this goes on. He says, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. This is when they're going to see salvation. This is the ultimate salvation that we all are looking forward to for all mankind. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. And everyone's going to see this happen. And they're setting the example, because when God comes in your presence, your face is on the ground. This is holy. This is your Father. It says, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to all of these people who struggled and made the right decisions and finally made it here. Oh, wait a minute, don't say that. So all the power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That's where it goes. The glory goes to the Father. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, this is John, he turns to John and says, of course he knows, he's just asking the question, so John will understand. What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence? When do they come from? Where do they come from? You notice here they're in white robes, but they're not in white linen, are they? First fruits are in white linen. That's what goes inside that temple. That's what's part of the temple that Aaron had to get dressed up in the white linen, go in the Holy of Holies. They're in white robes. He's going to be the children. And so he asked John this question, and he says, and I said unto him, sir, you know. You know. See, John was smart enough. He says, you know. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, did any of you wash your robes? No. The Father did. These people were covered by the blood of Christ. It just wasn't their time yet. But now it's their time. And so he says this. We used to maneuver all of these scriptures around and see, they have to wash them. They have to repent. Now, believe me, if you're standing there, that first resurrection, you're a human being. I don't know what the term is, but you'll be repenting. You'll say, whoa, yes, this is God. You don't have that satanic junk in you anymore, and you have God's Spirit in you. What would you do? Just what you're doing now, that's what they're going to do. You yield to God immediately. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. All these people came out of this great tribulation. We used to call it the great tribulation because it's special. But as we have learned, life under Satan is tribulation. And it doesn't get any worse than that. It just depends what part of that tribulation you lived under. It says they're not going to thirst or hunger anymore. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. Remember that statement. He will lead them into living fountains of waters. And here's the key of when this is going to happen. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. There's only one time that he does that in the history of man, which we'll be reading about. So you want to get some timing here? Here it is. This is what's going to happen to this great multitude. When are they going to come up? It's going to be that second resurrection. When does God wipe away the tears? When does he give them the thirst or the water and the food and all of that? Great last day. Puts the timing right in there. That will take the time. Let's turn over here to John 16. We'll be coming back here to Revelation, but John 16, just a verse. Found this interesting last night. I was looking, frankly, for another scripture, and my eyes fell on this. I said, oh, I have to put that in. It says John 16, verse 33, talking about that tribulation. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, did Christ know what he was talking about? He had just lived his life on this earth, and he called it tribulation. When you're looking at a perspective over the whole thing, and now you're at the end, you're going to look at this world and say, it was great tribulation that mankind had to come out of. We don't know how terrible it even is here, because our minds are so clouded with this satanic junk. You know, people say, well, you can choose. And I said, what are you going to choose? This is Satan's world. He's the God. God obviously isn't working here, except in his church. Now, what are you going to choose? Satan gives you five choices. They're all evil. Which one? The bottom line, still evil. But we think we're actually making a good choice. Now, you want to get into an argument about degrees of evil? Well, you have an argument by yourself, because I won't go there. It's all evil. When we see what Satan has done to mankind, no one's going to question. They're all going to stand that day and say, what's the verdict? Go to hell. Go to hell. See, we can legally say that. Satan, go to hell. And here's a little road map, and I'll help you and I'll push you over. Because that's the judgment. That's what you did. And that's what happened. You know, eye for an eye. Okay, where do they stand? What happens now? All these people are up. They've come out of this great tribulation. White robes. Satan's up there too, standing. It's ready. They're already to be judged. Let's go to Revelation 20. I always enjoy the sermon today, because it's always the same. It just gets better every year, because we know more and more about what this really means. And we feel it more and more within ourselves, and he's giving us more conviction. And we're learning to hate evil more and more. So we can read the same words, and each year it has a more of a punch, because we understand it more, and it gives us more happiness. So starting in verse 11, this is when this great white throne happens. Not some 100-year period. Not to see if people can maybe choose the right way again. If they don't, we'll throw them into hell again. We all believed it. Made sense. Looking back, I don't know how it made sense, but it really did make sense to us then. And we would have given our lives, every one of us would have given our lives for what we believed. So we don't want to discount our fellow Christians out there, the real first fruits. We have a marvelous thing that God clicked in our mind, and he will click it in theirs as well. So we don't want to down any of them for that, because they're our brothers. But here, John is seeing this in verse 11 of chapter 20 of Revelation. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. So it's already taken place. All that old stuff is gone. It's obviously in this new heavens and new earth, this new period of time, this great last day. And there was found no place for them. In other words, all those governments, Satan's government could never come back. There is no place for it. He has been totally revealed. And that's what's happening within the church right here. And it really started right there at Atonement. Satan doesn't have a place here anymore. He doesn't have a place. you all got to know one another this year. Everyone went out and we all ate way too much. Wasn't that fun? That was fun. And it was very enjoyable. We had a lot of time to get to know each other. And you know what? Everyone in this room has a like mind. And we've all gone through the same experiences. And we're all sitting here. There's no contention. And when God starts something, He starts it that way. And you will look back on these years from now, and be so thankful to have taken place and a part in this that God has brought us here. In verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So everyone's standing there. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Oh, we all have works. Luckily, all of our works are covered. Satan's works, however, they're not covered, are they? So he has to stand there. He has to say what he did. All the people don't. But what are these books? What he's talking about, these books were open. Those are the books of the Bible. This is his book. This is his law. This is his mind. That is what Satan is going to be judged by. Very simple. You don't have to make up anything. There it is. Keep the Sabbath. You didn't do that one. Have other gods before. Oh, you didn't do that one. Take the name of the Lord. Oh, you didn't do that. Oh, keep the Sabbath. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you lied, you stole, you killed, you murdered, you lusted. Boy, those 10 you struck out on. Let's look at other parts of the law. Satan has a big problem here. He has no sacrifice for him. And that's the system by which God judges. We'll read that in a moment. This other book here is the book of life, which of course all the humans have been written in. And if you've made it into that book, which everyone did, you're in like Flynn, as it were. You're in. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man and angel, according to their works. We're going to read how this judgment went. Because God in his wisdom said, you know, there'll be people someday that didn't see this, because the generations keep on going. And all of us, of course, haven't been there yet. We wonder what's going to happen. So God in his wisdom wrote it down right in this book forever, exactly what's going to happen on that day. And we never knew this before. We never knew it. But it's there. So they were going to be judged. The men, of course, he looks at the men and goes, you're covered. Looks at Satan, no covering, no sacrifice, no honor, no nothing. Well, speak up. Speak up. You have all the sin. You know what happens at the transgression. You sin, you die. Can you say anything for yourself? No one's standing up for them. This is a judgment. Luckily, none of you and none of the world has to actually go up there and say anything. Because it would be, am I glad I don't have to say anything. Because his finger would get real weary. Even God, his finger would tire. Sin, hell, sin, hell, sin, hell. Let's start coming up in groups. Group, sin, group, hell. Nations, please come. Nations, sin, nations, hell. Because that's the way it would work. We have a covering. And all of our brothers out there, they're all out there on the beach today. They'll stand, they'll be covered, and they'll be loved. That doesn't get any better than that. Okay. Now, I want to say this before I go on, so you'll know what's happening in this. When he judges, he is going to read. He's the judge. He is going to read out of the books of the Bible. He's going to read all the Ten Commandments. He's going to read all the law of God. Now, Satan, of course, is going to be being accused by this and convicted. But all the human beings who's ever lived, they're standing there waiting. And they're hearing this. No one's talking. Would you talk if you just popped out of your grave and you see the Father and Jesus Christ there and there's 144,000 in the church there? Well, that's one time you get real speechless. And if somebody says, hey, what's going on? Yeah, shut up. I want to hear this. No talking. He's going to read this. And people are going to go, he's going to read Leviticus 23. He's going to read all of this. Holy days, Sabbath day. No one's going to say, well, I don't think I want to do that. That wouldn't even enter their mind, because now Satan's junk is gone. They have God's Spirit. What did you do when God's Spirit revealed to you that you should keep the Sabbath day? Was there a question? Zip. When he revealed this plan, this true plan of salvation, where did you go? Zip. You didn't have a choice. God's Spirit brings. And it's always in unity. It's always good. We've seen that this week. This is the way the feast should always be. But hopefully with more and more people to enjoy it, we can share that joy. But everyone's going to hear it. That is how he writes his laws into their minds and their hearts. It's not only woof, 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 woof. Some guy way at the back there, you know, can't hear God, like God can't, you know, project. Well, he'll have to pick it up later or something. No. The Spirit of God is working, and it goes boom, and he reads it. It goes right in their heart and their mind, and it stays. When we found out about, I was 8 years old, Mr. McNair read that. And he said, to keep the Sabbath day. And the day I heard it, I've never forgotten it. It's never left me. And that same feeling that I had then is here today. That was just a man reading it and a little boy hearing it and God's Spirit helping there. This is the Father doing it. This is his children and the power of his Spirit totally upon all mankind. They're going to forget? Well, I don't think so. But do they know how to keep it? No. Do they know how to keep the holy days? No. Do they know what they represent? No. But they all know they're going to keep it because their Father just said to do it. It's an honor to him. And so they will do that. Become a natural thing for them to do that. So in a moment, we're going to go on and we're going to see the very plan. He shows us exactly the words and everything that happened on that great last day.